one of the greatest movies ever made is, at its core, a struggle between good and evil. And at the center of the struggle is one man, Anakin Skywalker, known also as Darth Vader. Now, even though Anakin's motives early on are good, he eventually becomes consumed by the dark side of the Force, giving in to his fear and anger. And his fear leads to anger, and his anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering, at which point Anakin Skywalker becomes no more and is reborn as the most iconic bad guy in movie history, Darth Vader. Now, at the very end of the six-movie series, that glorious six movies, Vader, Darth Vader, finally casts off the dark side, and we see a transition in him. We see a transformation. That evil and monstrous helmet that defines who he is stripped away, and that terrifying voice is no more. And we see before us a man who is at peace, who is once again Anakin Skywalker, lying at peace in the arms of his son. Now the tale, the epic that is Anakin Skywalker, turned Darth Vader, turned back to Anakin, is not unlike the language of baptism that we find in Ephesians, specifically in the verses that come right before our passage that we have today. In the verses that come before our passage, which unfortunately our readings skip over, the Lord tells us to put off your old self, which is corrupt, and to put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God. It's like taking off dirty, icky, gross clothes and putting on something completely new and refreshing. Because in baptism, our old self is stripped away and is drowned, our sinful nature. And we are redressed by God as a new creation. In a way, we are all Darth Vader, consumed by the dark side, and God wants to make us like Anakin again. The notable difference, though, is that we are already born consumed by the dark side. There isn't something that we fall into. However, in baptism, we are recreated. We are made new. We are given life and salvation through the forgiveness of sins won by Christ for us on the cross. However, that old self always lingers. It is always there. And it continues to linger until Christ returns and completes his work of redemption, till we sing a final and glorious hymn like Joy to the World. Until then, though, the old self and the new self, they remain in conflict with each other. That old sinful self in us and the new regenerated baptized person in us are at conflict. And so as baptized individuals, the Lord calls us to continually shed off that old self and to put on the new, which is to say that we are to cling to and grab onto, embrace the promises God has given us in baptism and to live according to those promises. Basically, walk the walk of one in Christ. So in today's passage from Ephesians, Paul gives us what he likes to give us. He gives us another list. And he does this in all his letters. He gives you a list of bad things, and he gives you a list of good things, and he tells you don't do this and do this. So starting in verse 25, Paul gives us a list of what it looks like to live as redeemed individuals, individuals claimed by God's grace. He tells us that shedding of the old self means putting away falsehood. Instead of speaking ill about one another, we are to speak kind, speak truth about a person. Shedding the old self means not sinning in our anger. Instead, you know, in other words, letting our anger take hold of us, control of us. Because, as Paul says, such things gives the devil an opportunity, a stronghold, a foothold into you. That's what anger does. Instead, we are to settle our disputes before the sun goes down. Take care of business, in other words. Putting away the old self means we no longer steal or thieve from others, in money especially, in time, but I would say also in love and in our relationships. What might that look like? A stealing from somebody in love might be a spouse or a parent, a giving time that is needed by their children or their other spouse to something else. Even something as simple or innocent as maybe a hobby or your own interests. We are to be hardworking and generous to those who have need. Shedding the old self means that we let no evil talk come out of our mouths. Instead, we are to build others up, encourage them, and most importantly, communicate the grace of God to them. This is Paul's list that he gives to the baptized, to the redeemed. He says, don't do this, do this. And all of it, you'll notice, is us living in relationship to each other, which is a common theme in Ephesians. And to sum all this up, Paul gives us another little run, another little list, and he says, living as the baptized, as those grasped by the word of God, means to put away all bitterness. Just put it away. Strip it from yourselves. Because bitterness leads to wrath and anger. And wrath and anger, they affect how we live with other people. They cause us to do what Paul says next, wrangling, which is angry argumentation. It's clashing heads in anger. And these things lead us into slander. They cause us to defame another person, to denigrate them, to bring them down with our words. And all of these things, the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the wrangling, the slander, if left unchecked, will lead to malice, as verse 31 states. Malice implies a complete state of wickedness, a complete state of depravity, of fallenness, of being consumed by the dark side. It implies this desire to do harm to another person. It might not mean that you're going to do that, but the desire will be there. Bitterness leads to wrath and anger leads to wrangling and slander, and it all leads to malice. Now, it all sounds dramatic, but in all of this, all these things that Paul walks us through, whether they are the what might seem a lesser thing, like speaking falsehood, or a greater thing, like anger, wrath, and malice. All sin can lead to what Paul alludes to in verse 30. And if you were to outline this passage, at the center of it, structurally, is verse 30. And here Paul tells us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The baptized are to refrain from certain things and do other things, because these things that we're not supposed to do can lead us to bad places. They can lead us to a point at which we are grieving the Holy Spirit. Here's what the Lutheran reformers interpreted this verse to mean. They say that when the baptized act against their renewed and redeemed conscience, allowing sin to rule in them, they grieve the Holy Spirit in them and lose Him. They lose Him. In other words, they reject Him. They cast off that which God has given. I don't mention this a whole lot, because I like to bring out the promise of baptism, the seal that you have been given. But it's not a once saved, always saved. You can reject your baptism. You can cast off those things that God has given you. It's a scary thought. But the baptism, the promises, are always there for us to grab back onto. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. God actually feels the grief of loss when we turn away from Him, when we deny Him in word and deed. They're scary words. These lists that Paul gives us, they're scary. And there's not a single list in all of Scripture where I can say, oh, I do that well. Most of the time, it's the opposite. There are lots of do's and don'ts in this passage, but the beautiful thing about these kind of lists, these things that Paul gives us, is they all lead us to one place. They lead us to Jesus Christ. Verse 32 helps us to understand this. Instead of having anger, wrath, bitterness, malice, we are to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Now those things by themselves, they're goals to aspire to, but they are goals to aspire to because of what Paul says next. We forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. As God in Christ has forgiven you. The do's and don'ts always lead us to what Christ has done first and foremost for you. His forgiveness, the kindness and tenderness of Christ for you, led Him to the cross for you, to win the forgiveness of sins for you, given to you in baptism, in the Word, in the Supper. So when you were baptized, you were clothed in Christ. And as verse 30 says, you were given the Holy Spirit, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. To be sealed means to be claimed with a mark of ownership. God claims you through Jesus Christ. And as such, God gives you the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. As sinners, we will always have that stuff clashing against us. But we know, and you know, the forgiveness of sins. You know what God has done for you, and it is always there for us to wake up to return to cling to grab onto, to seek in repentance. So perhaps for you, putting off the old self and taking up the new sounds like a terribly daunting task. Well, you know what? It is. It is. But we rest assured that we are claimed by Christ, and that the Spirit dwells in you, and that the Spirit also works in you, daily drowning you and daily making you new. Because of what Christ has done for you, and because the Spirit is now at work in you, and you are God's child, you are an imitator of God. free to walk in the example of Christ, but even more free to walk in His forgiveness, in His daily restoration, His daily working in you, His daily claiming of you, His daily loving of you. And as we walk in that, we are enabled then to do what Christ would have us do. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for the sacrifice of Christ for us, for the way that You have claimed us in baptism, that You have given us Your promises, that You have redeemed us. Help us, Lord, to live daily in that, to grab hold of what You have given us in faith. Help us, Lord, to be more and more like You each and every day, to imitate You better and better, but also to know that when we do fail, that Your forgiveness is and always there. Lord, we pray this in Your name. Amen.